So, Father, we just thank you for this fellowship tonight. We just thank you for working through all of us to just be with you tonight, be with each other tonight, to pray for and lift up and edify and you, Lord. And we just thank you for all that you're doing in our life and just the amazing miracles that you've done to bring us all to this place, Lord. And we just ask you just bless this night. You just guide and direct us. We bind up the principalities and powers. We bind up fear of man, anything like that that would just not allow somebody that, you know, has got something on their heart to share. And, Lord, we just thank you for just a blessed night. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Andrew, why don't you share as far as, you know, you being up in Ottawa, Canada, and how you got led to this ministry.
Well, actually, someone gave me your discs. Someone copied the discs from the Prophecy Club that David Eales went to the Prophecy Club, and they gave me a copy of a bunch of the discs there, DVDs, so that I could play them and watch them. And I just found it, like, really amazing that I ended up with these discs, and he even bought me a little MP3 player, too, and told me to listen to this stuff. And I guess he changed his mind, too, on some of his thinking, listening to your material, because this was actually the guy who witnessed to me. He's not alive anymore, but, you know, he got this off to me, and I'm just finding it very amazing that someone way up here in Ottawa, Canada, would end up having this material to them, given to them, you know. After, I guess I was one of those church hoppers, you know. I started out in the church where my family was in, the Roman Catholic Church, and then I went to the Christian Reform, then the Pentecostal, then the Church of God, and because of some of the things that I noticed there, I ended up at the Independent Baptists, and then I got this material for here, and I just slowly, every Wednesdays and Sundays, and now you have this teleconference calling for fellowship, which is, I really listen a lot, and you learn a lot just from listening. And, you know, and just to think of how people all the way over there in South Africa would have in touch with the same material. Like, they had a pretty sad thing that happened over there in the recent past, but, you know, sometimes these things tend to happen to make us see how close this kind of persecution for God's people is. And it sort of made me even give a testimony of that to my children, of what happened to some of the people that are associated with Unleavened Bread. And well, that's about it, you know. You look at a map, you know, and you see how far Ottawa is away from, because this is when you were back in Pensacola, and that's a long distance. I mean, it's almost the same line of longitude, I think, but it's you're all the way down on the Gulf and back then, and I'm all the way up here in Ottawa, you know. You should really have this is Canada's capital, and you hear so much news all the time. You're inundated with it. It's the same for anyone who lives in a capital, whether it be a state, a province, or a country. It's, you know, I think they might need a little extra prayer just not to be too involved with the politics, especially a capital city. Anyway.
Amen. Yeah, it's pretty amazing that because I know even for us that we didn't see the sovereignty of God at the time. You know, he pulled us out of the church, and we were kind of in the wilderness. And, I mean, we found this ministry just totally by mistake, just ended up downloading something that we thought we were downloading something else, and turned out to be David. And we listened to that, and it was just, it was a lot of truth, and we just knew that it was like, we need to get more of this, because this is meat, and we've just been under milk. And we could have listened to that and said, oh, this is too heavy or whatever it was, but the Lord put on our heart to just pursue it. And, you know, we pursued the teachings, and I mean, when I read Sovereign God, it was like, you know, it just started putting everything together, you know, which was just an awesome, you know, awesome book. And then we tied into, at the time it was Pal Talk, and it was sort of like this. I mean, you know, a little bit of this type format, but David was live giving the, you know, doing the Bible study in his living room, and it was in a room like this. And you know, we started tying in then, and we just started just growing in the Lord, growing in the Lord. And, you know, who would know that, you know, it would lead me to just totally selling out to the Lord and giving up everything I thought was important, and, you know, my, you know, the empire I was building, just to run after the Lord. And, and just coming to this place of just, you know, totally learning how to enter the rest and just, you know, be at peace and just walk by faith and totally understand, you know, just have a hunger for the Word and have the Lord open your eyes to, you know, just the depths and the layers and the types and shadows. And I mean, it's just, it's been an awesome, you know, awesome journey. So, and it's all the Lord. I mean, it's just the Lord, you know, we had a choice to walk in obedience, or, you know, we could have run back into the world, but he put in all of us just a hunger for him and you know, and open our eyes to the truth, because there's a lot of people that you can hand a Sovereign God book to and it just offends them, and or they won't even open it, you know. So God is sovereign, and you know, he's just he's got a purpose for all of us. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, I remember how he showed me his sovereignty when a person witnessed to me, and I went out and I went to a place to buy a Bible, my first Bible, and I opened it and I said, well, I'll start reading in the book of Matthew. And I opened it up, and, you know, they give you the lineage there, and then they give you Emmanuel, God with us, you know, and you read a couple of more, that first chapter, and I read it at night. And then the next day, the guy who witnessed to me came up to me, and he told me what I read, unbeknown to him that I already went out and bought a Bible, because I knew I needed one. And he told me about Emmanuel in the first chapter of Matthew, and I'm going, oh, this must be coincidence. But when it happened again the next day, and the day after that, you know, and I just said, how do you know what I'm reading at night? And he goes, what do you mean? And I said, well, I just finished reading that, and you did this yesterday at my work, of course. And he goes, I did? And then his eyes were wide like frying pans. And it was just awesome to see that God actually knew what I was reading and had him repeat it to me the next day at work. And that was just amazing. And it happened more than once, you know. The first time you think it's coincidence, and then the second time, and then I even think it happened a third time, and then I was going, this is unreal. So that was kind of neat too, when you remember things like that in the past. And So that's exciting to sometimes remember the things of the past, and even though one would become very enamored with the forgiveness gospel after, and this is what I mean about being revived, is to actually come back to being reminded of what the full gospel is, because there are people who hear it, but they're in sort of the wrong land there. They're in the parable of the sower. They're in one of those three lands. They really did hear the full gospel, but they can't put their thought to what actually they heard, and they become so enamored with I think the forgiveness part of it, that they think it's a forgiveness gospel, and they lose the actual ability for growth in Christ, to know that it's Christ living in them, that they're part of the corporate body of Christ. And it's a shame that it leads that way because of some of the things that people are being taught about once saved, always saved, and just be happy you're saved and get on with your life. All you can ever hope to be is a sinner. And that can really infect people. And they need to be revived by God to be reminded to go through the law of liberty, the hearing the word, remembering it, and doing it. And to be reminded is a big saving, especially if one is going through a real downtrodden part in his life. When I went through my divorce and stuff, so it all came together, like during that lowest part of my life. These discs came to my hand, and it was like a little rescue for me from the Lord. And I just thank the Lord for that. I thank the Lord for what He's going to continue to do with me, and what is going to happen in the future. Thank the Lord for all things, because He's sovereign over all things. Amen.
Well,
that's all I'm a little
that's
nervous.
Fine.
I don't want to share too much. Some other people may want prayer or something. Okay.
Now, the thing was, is before I even came to this ministry, I never even thought about or really understood the sovereignty of God. And, you know, we were talking in our local, you know, we get together once a week, have a Bible study, and we're talking in that, and, you know, I you know, the church teaches you that, you know, the devil's as powerful as God, and you know, he wins a battle, and, you know, and we just got to be more prayed up or whatever it is. And I never saw God, or I never saw the devil as a, you know, as a tool of God, as, you know, as his left hand. And so whenever anything happened, I mean, you would always get blamed on the devil, but you never saw God in it. And but through the, you know, as far as through the, you know, when I came to that truth, and when you start seeing God behind everything, I mean, the people He puts in your life in every situation and that we go through, and, you know, when we're, you know, the good times and the bad times, when we're chastened, and you know, we go around Bonehead Mountain a few times, and, you know, we just, you know, we see that, you know, we're getting in the way, or our pride's getting in the way, or we're in works, or whatever it is, and we understand why we're being, you know, we're being chastened. We understand that, but most of the body of Christ just blames it on the devil, and they never learn anything from it as far as that. So when we come and we know that, you know, a man can receive nothing except it comes from heaven, you know, it's like everything that's going on around us, there's God's got a purpose. And when you come to that fullness, I mean, it's actually there's freedom in that, you know, because you know, you're just trying to be a son of God, and you know, He chastens His sons, and you know, we just see that He loves us, and you know, that's why we're going through these situations. And but through that, that's really the gospel. We can help other people, and you know, sometimes people don't want to hear it. We can see it, and we can, you know, try to, you know, help them. You know, and you know, sometimes He'll show us, or you know, we understand what unforgiveness is. We understand what, you know, being turned over to the tormentors because we're not forgiven. You know, we understand that, you know, if we're going to fall into sin willfully, we're going to get spanked for it. You know, there's a reason for that spanking. And, you know, and most of the body doesn't understand that.
Who spanks their children? Father who spanks their children, and you're not supposed to faint from it or feel like you're neglected or something. It's written right in there. I just read that portion. I forget what book it's in, but it says there that a father chastens his children, and if you're going to be chastened, it's supposed to be for your better, and it's for your good. And I remember one of the Bible verses I wanted to commit to heart. It was out of Jeremiah, and I even prayed this prayer. And it was in Jeremiah, I think it's 10:24, around there. It says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. O Lord, correct me, but with judgment, not in thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing. And I sort of remember praying that to the Lord, and it's kind of a scary thing to ask for a spanking. You know, a child wouldn't naturally do that. You know, like... You wouldn't go up to your earthly father and say, Dad, I think you got to spank me. But sometimes, you know, you just wonder what's going on, and you may need to be chastened. But, you know, there's the end of Jeremiah 9 where you would prefer to have the loving kindness and the instruction and righteousness. There's judgment too, but it mentions in there also that the Lord delights in this, and he doesn't delight in judgment in any sort of negative way. It's for our benefit. Anyway, those two verses there that sort of I tried to commit to memory, and just Billy Graham came here once a long time ago. Mm-hmm. I started memorizing the verses that he counseled us to memorize, and that was way back. I have a list of them. It's kind of like a journal now more than anything else. From that first verse that I memorized, and you soon realize, well, I want this to be in my life, Lord. I can't just have them in my mind. And that was exciting too, because it opens up a whole different change in you and realization of things that are just so wrong, and how people can be so easily infected by even like the news, you know, when that thing happened in. That guy who took a refuge in Russia there, and he showed some of the stuff on the internet. Everyone they showed a chopper shooting a van, and you know, it doesn't look like that in any of the movies. You know, this I was amazed that the bullets hitting this van was capable of moving this one-ton truck around, you know, and I was going, well, this could infect a person more than let's say you put a quarter in a video game or something, and it's just it looks different and everything, you know, than what they show, I guess, on TV. Because it just, when I looked at it, I said that this whole van is moving from these bullets, you know, and there ended up being two little children in there, and you know, it makes you wonder about some of the other things that are said there about in the Book of Jude there about going the way of Cain, and you know, some of these people don't realize what they're doing, and taking in a military uniform and killing people, and they're still in Christ, and some of them were before they went and got this trauma shaking, showing that I would discern a demon jumping on them after that. And of course, the general's answer is to put them right in the midst of war again so that they can get used to this the next time they do it, or the time after, a repetition of close combat. And,
yeah, that's all. Yeah, there's just, you know, I see it, you know, very plainly. There's a lot of, you know, we're around us, just a lot of patriots, and they're all proclaiming Christ, and, you know, they've got that patriot spirit, and they're going to, you know, and they think they're going to take on the beast. You know, they think they're going to, you know, be able to, cut, you know, stand with their little AK-47s or whatever they have. They're going to stand against those aircraft with those bullets, you know, and they're just inception that they're, you know, and they're out there killing for their country and killing other Christians and sending people to hell, and doing it all in the name of the USA, you know, or whatever country they're, you know, they're fighting for. So it's just another deception that the enemy's got.
They used to say long time ago, God and country, though. We'll fight for God and country. And that it's amazing when you think of it as a young 18 or 19-year-old, is it any wonder that God has to judge these? Hopefully this young man can come back to the Lord, or be corrected, or be saved for the first time.
Well, the thing is, I mean, sin is only imputed in knowledge, and it's, I mean, it's like, you know, how many, the church really has very little knowledge, and so there is, I'm sure there's some grace there from the Lord, you know, but when you come into the fullness and you, you know, you do it, you know, that's where the judgment falls. So, you know, we just, it's just, the whole world's deceived, including most of the church. So we just got to pray that we don't, you know, fall into any deception. And we're just, and that's why, you know, just learning to just walk in the Spirit, you know, just be led in the Spirit, and love your enemies, you know, pray for them that, you know, persecute you and turn the other cheek and all that, is not death and mayhem and war, and, you know, it goes totally against the Word of God. So
I can't really hate you.
Amen.
Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, your neighbor as yourself, and love your enemies. I guess that's everybody. And your neighbor could be somewhat far off even, but those close to the Lord are going to have that mind that they need to have, and that heart and that soul. And I think the strength is going to be that faith and love. I just figured out that the breastplate of righteousness, that's the Lord my righteousness, is also a breastplate of faith and love. So I was kind of wondering, you know, like maybe that's a growth thing there. It goes from righteousness to faith to more faith and to love, the obedience, agape style. And, you know, I was going, hey, this breastplate's got three pieces on it, you know, because you envision it as the verses there where he's comparing the armor of an old-fashioned soldier to the clothing putting on Christ, the Lord my salvation, the Lord my peace, the Lord my word, you know, the Lord my faith, and the Lord my peace, and the Lord my truth, and it's for you, and that's, if it's his word for you, the Lord my word, you know, a person would say the Lord my righteousness, but not too many would say the Lord my word. So it's the word in you, and that's Christ in you, and it's just amazing on what the Lord gives you, all his ability to have him perform these works through you, and it's lovely. It's you think of all the different songs that I learned in all these different churches, and there's more understanding in some of this worship than you would have with some of the other sayings that are according to the word that killeth there, and not the spirit of the word that giveth life, the letter that killeth, and when they pick up some of that letter in their doctrine, you know they're under the law somewhere, and vice versa. You know, if they're under a law, they're going to have letter of the word in their doctrine for sure. The two are not inseparable. They're going to be there. You know, like for instance, when they say all Israel shall be saved, and they think it's that country east of the Mediterranean Sea there, west of Jordan, that they're talking about that country, but it's a spiritual Israel, those grafted into the tree, and they've got a letter in their doctrine, because I never really learned the pre-tribulation rapture, so I don't know really all that much what they used to teach or do teach, and I didn't have that big of a problem. I got a bit of teaching from the last church I was in, but I didn't have that big of a problem with this pre-trib. I was told it was pre-trib, but when I was getting the information from you guys, I was saying, well, this is just how the rapture is, you know, post and at the very end, you know, and I guess it was pretty good not to have all that information for me. I actually have to sometimes backward study some of the things. Oh, that's what he means. This is what they used to say. And when I have to look at it from that point of view, I'm going, well, what's he talking about here? You know, because I don't understand the error to see the correction. You know, talking about the prophecy that's, club.
Right. I mean, that's where you were blessed, where you didn't fall into that doctrine, so it wasn't tough for you to come out of that. So that's, got to praise the Lord for that. Amen.
Amen, because they had all the in and outs of it, and I just didn't have it all in there, you know, and I was getting stuff more from word of mouth, and I remember the person telling me about what it says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where it says, our gathering together unto him, and that would include you and of course the apostle who said it, and he goes on that this falling away has to come first, before the gathering. So what are they talking about, pre-trib? So
just flesh pleasing doctrine, like most of them, you know, once saved always saved, all that. It's just, it pleases the flesh, and there's no obedience, and there's no, you know, just accept and you're in the club. So, you know, we should open this up. We didn't actually open up in prayer to see if there's anybody that needs prayer.
Oh, okay.
We kind of skipped over that. I just wanted you to share that. I appreciate you sharing that, and let's open it up to, is there anybody that, you know, we kind of got going on testimonies here, but is there anybody that needs prayer before we continue on? Want to pray for somebody or somebody on their heart, something like that? All right, I guess we'll go back to testimonies. So, yeah, Andrew was just, he was starting to share how he came to UBM, and you know, I thought it was kind of neat, because the Lord all, you know, drew us all here in different ways. I don't know if anybody else has a testimony of how they led to this ministry, and, you know, how it's changed your perspective, and anything like that. Does anybody else have something they'd like to share? Now, don't everybody get quiet now.
Hey, Tim.
Hey, Kurt.
Yeah, I wanted to share something real quick.
Okay.
Several years ago, before we moved up here, I had a double wide trailer, and I had my mom had passed away, so I had this three bedroom trailer. And I actually put an ad on David's site about a room for rent if anybody wanted to come into town and be a part of the ministry and, you know, have a place to stay. And somebody contacted me. It was John Giberson, and he was actually in Afghanistan. He was flying planes out over the ocean to drop some kind of fluid that would dissolve oil spills. And anyway, he contacted me, and he had 6 months left, and he wanted to rent the room, or a couple of months left, I'm sorry. So he sent me the money, but he didn't get there for a couple of months. He still continued to send the money to hold it for him. When he finally, he went to California to visit his parents, and then he bought a car and came on down and stayed for about 4 months, and really got a lot out of David's teachings. But he moved to Gulfport, Mississippi, and that's where the airplane was stored in a place where you put airplanes. At any rate, I went down to visit him a couple of times, and they were having home studies, and I ended up meeting this guy named Doug Hansen, who also lived there and was going to the home group that John was going to. Well, John sort of fell away, got married, and stopped listening to David. Doug Hansen also fell away for a bit and ended up in Las Vegas. And he recently moved back to Gulfport. But anyway, he called me today, and I was having a hard time remembering put in the face with the name, because it had, he's come out here to visit a couple of times, but never went to the meetings or anything. And so he's contacted David and got my phone number and called me, and I think he's going to be coming out here pretty soon to visit. And I guess it's just sort of amazing how our lives touch different people and how God uses these meetings, and then they come back into our life at some point in time years later. So I would like to sort of pray for Doug Hansen, that if he's supposed to be here, then, you know, the God will put it on his heart to be, and that wherever he decides to move to, that he'll be in God's will. And that's really all I had to say. I just wanted to...
Well, why don't you go ahead and pray for him, and we'll believe with you.
Okay. Well, Lord, you know Doug Hansen's heart. You know where he is with you. You know his needs as far as understanding your word and being, like I said, in a place where you want him to be for the times that are coming. So I just ask that you guide and you direct him, Lord, where you want him to be. And I thank you so much for having him contact me. And he was a good brother during the time that I had the opportunity to know him. And I just thank you, Lord, that you're sovereign in everything. So I give you the praise. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. We just thank you for just blessing Doug. And if he's supposed to come visit, just open the door, Lord. We just thank you for that. Amen. All right. Anybody else have anything on their heart? Revelation, anything that the Lord's shown you? A dream, anything you want to bring forward, just to praise the Lord. Question? This is your time.
Hey, Dan.
Okay, mister. Yes, sir.
Well, I guess I could share how I came across UBM if you'd like to hear it.
Yeah, that's fine.
Well, I don't know. It had to have been around 2004. Somewhere along in there, 2005. I was always interested in end time prophecy. And so, I, like most people did, I went on a prophecy club, and there David was, and I said, this guy knows something. You know how you can, you know that the pre-tribulation rapture is not right, but you couldn't put everything together to make everything else fit. And so when I listened to David, I said, man, it's all clearer now, you know. And so I went to his site. As far as the end time goes, I knew that pre-tribulation rapture was wrong. I just knew that. I mean, all you got to do is read scripture and you see, you know, the last trump at the last trump, and all through the New Testament. And anyway, I went on his site and I saw they were giving away Sovereign God. So I ordered one of those. And, well, that changed my whole perspective as far as the Bible goes. Just like everybody else, you know, I knew these scriptures were here and over here and over here and over here, but I could never put them together. But then when I found out that God was sovereign and that everything works together for the good to those who love the Lord, and that God does it, you know, I said, bingo. Man, it just put it all together. And so that's when I got a hold of David and actually went over to Pensacola and visited with him for one Sunday night, him and Bob Accardi, and I think Kurt was there, and Michael Doty, and Bill Rowe. Anyway, I met everybody, and then, of course, in February the 23rd of 2011, the Lord told me that I would be coming to Tennessee at that time, at some time in the future. So I didn't know when, but I kept asking the Lord. So it wasn't until in September of that same year that the Lord actually told me that's when he wanted me to go. So that's kind of a short synopsis of what happened to me. Of course, some of you may know that we had a conference call before we ever came to UBM. I had one in Arkansas of some like-minded believers that I had ministered to, and we wanted to come together and have Bible studies and talk and everything. And so, and then Paul heard my testimony on David's, Paul Rimmel had heard my testimony, and he wanted to come up and visit with me, and I took him out on the streets and showed him, you know, that there in a little rock, and I was feeding the homeless and ministering to him. And anyway, when we both came to Tennessee, you know, David had asked us at that time if we would actually ask us before I came to Tennessee if we'd take over the conference calls, because we had a little bit of experience doing it. And when we did, I don't know when that was. That was probably in August of that year, 2011. And I did that for about a year, I guess. And then the Lord had me do something else for a while. But anyway, that's kind of it in the synopsis. I'll tell you what, I praise God for the understanding of the scriptures that I got from reading Sovereign God and all the rest of the books, because it's really changed my life and actually changed the life around the people that are in my family as well. But anyway, that's it, Tim. Thank you.
Thanks for sharing, Michael. So I know that, we all pretty much worked hard today. We had that, they said it was a F1 tornado, you know, came through here. There was a, you know, kind of a path, a lot of trees down. And in our yard, I was really seeing, we had a bunch of what they call Bartlett pear trees. And I don't know why they call it a pear tree. I think Michael looked it up, and there was some kind of a cross, a pear and an apple tree. But, the pears on this thing are about the size of a pea, you know. These things, you know, do not have pears on them. But they're beautiful trees. I mean, they're just like, when you look at them, they're just perfect. You know, they just, when they grow up, they're just like perfectly sculpture-type trees. And, you know, in the spring, for a week or two, they have white flowers that come out, so they're kind of pretty in the spring. But they're a lot of very, very thin branches, and there's no real they're not real solid trees. And over the years, we've had different storms come by, and we'll lose. Yeah, I mean, actually, the first week we moved in here, I think we lost a tree. And, we had a storm come through the first week we came, we lived here, and we were out of power for 4 or 5 days. And, over the years, we'd have a branch break off or something like that. So they're kind of acceptable. But I was really, it was a kind of a grueling day, but we had about 12 of these things come down. And we had one big old, I don't even know what it is, hickory or something that we haven't even attempted to look at. Is that what it is, Michael? A hickory?
Yeah, I think that's a big old hickory tree. Boy, that's going to be some good firewood.
So anyways, the ministry came over today, and we were just, we had to, chop all these branches up and chop up the wood, and it was awesome. We just, you know, some of the women came out, some of the kids came out, and we just made a fellowship of it. But I was really seeing that these, because there was some miracles that happened. I mean, we have a, you know, we had the, I mentioned the ministry tractor was under one of these trees, and it didn't even get, you know, there wasn't even a branch on it. It was, you know, God protected that. You know, we did have a chicken coop that was under a tree, and there was just one branch on the top of that, but the way it fell, it just didn't even, it fell right in between the tractor and the chicken coop. And the amazing thing is we have this, it's really like a greenhouse, and it, I made it out of one-inch PVC and Visqueen over the top of it, and it's 20 foot wide, 30 foot wide, you know, long. And, I mean, I looked out, and I saw this thing, you know, kind of gyrating, and I was just praying over it because I was ready for it to just lift up and end up in the next county. And the Lord protected it. I mean, it's just, that's the most amazing thing. There's trees down all around it, and this thing is just standing, you know, totally intact. But I was really looking at these Bartlett pear trees, and as I was seeing that they are kind of a, I was just kind of seeing them as a kind of a form of a, what I would call a church Christian. You know, they look beautiful on the outside. I mean, they, you know, early in their walk, early in the spring, I mean, they've got the whiteness, you know, they got a little, you know, Christ, you know, shining through. And, but there's no fruit, just very, very tiny green fruit. And so I'm going to mute you, Linda. So anyways, I was just kind of seeing where the, you know, so to the eyes, I mean, they're, you know, they're, you know, pleasant. And, but in the, when tribulation comes, when the storms come, they don't hold up. You know, the limbs break off. I mean, these things are snapped off at the trunk. And it was really the mature trees. You know, the bigger trees, the mature trees were the ones that got snapped off. The ones that weren't as mature, you know, kind of rode out the storms. And I just saw that as God giving them grace, you know, because they hadn't, you know, they're not in full accountability to what they're, you know, walking in as far as that. And you know, and I just saw that, you know, just, you know, that this wrath came and they got broken off. And then, you know, basically he sent us, his servants out with chainsaws and that to you know, finish off, you know, what he did, you know. But through this whole thing, I mean, there was definitely blessings. I mean, there was no damage to the house or cars or anything like that. You know, all the property was taken, you know, protected, and it was really the trees that came down. So it was, I give him the glory on that. So, amen. All right, who else has got something on their heart, testimony, or something they'd like to bring forth tonight?
Hey, Tim, that was a Bradford pear, not a Bartlett.
Oh, Bradford.
Yeah.
All right. I don't know my trees.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah. It's a pretty tree, but boy, it's fragile, isn't it?
Is there a Bartlett pear?
Yeah, there's a Bartlett pear tree, but it produces good fruit.
Okay. Yeah, Bradford pear. So, but anyways, thank you, Lord. All right, who's got something on their heart? What's God showing you in the Word? What's any revelation?
Well, I'll tell you what. If I can, today we went over there, or yesterday David and I went over to Tim's and Trish's, and I saw that greenhouse that Tim had made, and you envision this now. He's 20 foot wide, It's 30 feet long. It's got Visqueen halfway down it, the walls on that thing, which means that air can get up and under it real easily. Okay? You see what I'm saying? And I could just envision this thing just flying, lifting up, flying like a helicopter or something, and then taking over in the next county and dropping it up. But that thing was not even hurt. I mean, the Visqueen was still intact. It was just amazing to me that there were trees. There was a big hickory tree behind it that was down that probably was about 40 foot tall. And probably, I don't know, it's probably a foot and a half in the diameter or better. I don't remember, but it's a big tree. And then all of these other Bradford pear trees around it, laying on the ground, all up and around it. And this thing still sitting there. I said, my gracious, God is so sovereign. That's what happens when you pray and you believe what you pray. Then God can use your faith. And that's what God wants in the times ahead. He wants us to believe that when we pray, he's going to back it up. God is going to back up our prayers, and he's showing us that every day. Every day we have a testimony of somebody praying about something. You know, you heard David and I talking about the snowstorms that we prayed out of here, and also rains and bad storms, tornadoes. We've had three tornadoes that we prayed out of here, and lightning on this mountain doesn't happen anymore. Doesn't happen anymore. We prayed it out of here. We believe, you know, and there's testimonies like this throughout the fellowship where they've prayed and they believe, but God is acclimating us to the faith that he wants us to have in the days ahead so we can show other people what God will do and has done. And it's just an awesome testimony to the school that God is taking us all through here. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, that was something. That was another testimony. Was we had I think it was last year we had a storm come through, and we ended up getting on the internet, and we started watching the news, you know, forecasters and all that, and they were you know just speaking the bad report as far as tornado touchdowns and all this stuff. And we were kind of like mesmerized watching that. We're seeing this storm coming right at us, stuff like that. And I remember all of a sudden my telephone went off, and there's some type of a warning system that they have on the cell phones. And it starts beeping this thing I never heard before. And it was, you know, basically take cover, you know, there, you know, tornado, you know, warning in your area or whatever it is. And when that thing went off, fear gripped me. And I couldn't get this fear off me. And I'm trying to stand in faith. I'm trying to rebuke it, but I just had this fear all over me. And I was having a real hard time standing in faith. You know, I wanted to run for the basement as far as that. So, but when this storm hit, it was awesome because, and I believe it was because I wasn't watching the news and listening to man and all that. I went outside, you know, probably 20 minutes before, you know, it hit, and all I heard was a constant rumble in the background. It was just thunder, and it just never let up. It just rumbled and rumbled and roared and roared and roared, and there was no break in it at all, and I'd never heard anything like that. I mean, it just kept going and going and going, and the sky was just absolutely black. And so it, you know, started to rain, and then the wind just started to pick up, and then all of a sudden it was just on us. And, I mean, stuff was flying sideways. I mean, the rain was going horizontal, and it was intense. It was dark. It was intense. But the thing was, is fear didn't grip me. and my phone went off, that warning went off, and there was no fear there. I was just coming against it. I was just praying against it. I mean, the only thing I was concerned about is my wife and daughter-in-law were standing right in front of these, like, six windows watching it. And I said, hey, guys, you might want to step back a little bit because I was just seeing stuff fly through the air, you know. And they're like, no, you know. So we were kind of like standing in front of these windows watching it. And a few times I went out in the back, the patio or on the balcony. I was outside and, you know, I was just, but there was no fear on me. And I just remembered the last time we had a warning like this or a situation. I mean, just fear grabbed on me. But I think it was because I was being fed all that negative watching the newscasts and, you know, just talking about it and all that stuff. We're here. I didn't have any fear. It was just all the Lord. And I just knew, you know, he was going to protect us. I knew that, you know, we were just standing in faith, and it was pretty cool. So, amen. But, so I just give him all the glory. All right. Anybody else have something on their heart, something they'd like to share? I'll share one other thing. I was reading in Matthew the other morning, and I was reading where I think it was what does it say here? It's 21. Matthew, it's 4:21. It says, and going from thence he sought two other brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they straightway left their boat. And when I saw that, I think I've been on this kind of, you know, kind of thing. I was just seeing where that boat there, I was seeing it, religion as a boat, okay? And it keeps you suspended above the water, you know, which is the word. And so it's the water's all around you, but you're not actually in it. And, you know, it allows you to get across the water without getting wet. And it gives you kind of a salt, you know, false sense of security, you know, that you're in this boat, you know, you're getting across the water, you're above the water, but you're actually not in the word, in getting wet, anything like that. And sometimes, you know, a few of us pick up an oar and, you know, we start paddling and we might get splashed, you know, every Sunday we get a little splash, but you know, in a few hours, it just evaporates and dries up, you know, but we're not into that word. And, but what happens is, you know, if a storm comes up, we get into fear if we're in that boat. And that fear is that you're going to end up in the water and it's going to end up in death, you know, so our flesh doesn't want to die. It just wants to be in the boat above the water. But, you know, we've got this fear that we're going to get capsized and end up in the water, and we're going to have to die, or our flesh is going to have to die. And so I was just getting kind of a revelation on that, you know, seeing religion as a boat. So we need to get out of the boat and follow Jesus. Amen. All right. Anybody else? Anything the Lord's showing you? Testimonies? Any? Hello?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay. I'm going to share something. Okay. When you were talking about when you were talking about Kiana and I were standing looking out the window. And the reason we were standing looking out the window is because this tree that was, oh gosh, how can I explain it? It was right off corner of the house, or the house, you know, the part we come in and out of, and it was huge. It was this big, huge shade tree. It was just shaded, but and it's just, you know, you get so familiar with something that's always there, and we watched the wind tear it apart, but we didn't think anything of it. It was just kind of cracking, and we're like, that was really cool, actually. And but what happened was, I came back in, and this is really neat because, you know, we get so used to something, and our flush, our old man doesn't like change at all. But when we walk, you know, in the truth of the Lord, and we start to walk in His sovereignty, and we just start to think about how He's looking at it, and how everything has a purpose if we see God in it, or we can see God in it, then we can find a purpose maybe, or we'll one day understand the types or the testimony in it. But so the reason I was looking out the window, we were staring out the window, is because all of a sudden I went, oh my gosh, I have a view. Because this tree just, and you couldn't see the way it was set. There's a little hill behind it, and then there's huge, beautiful trees way back over there. And so instead of getting upset that my shade was gone or this tree was gone, I realized that when we don't let our flesh, our old man, get in the way, you can see, it was like, okay, I have a view. And it was like, okay, that bathroom down there was always shaded. That means, you know, in the winter, the sun will come in, it'll be warmer. And so it was just kind of neat that because we're learning to die away to who we were and become who we are, you just see things, you just don't see things the way maybe the old man would have seen it. And so I thought that was kind of neat, and that's why we were tearing out. And then the coop that we have, that we put it where we put it, because Tim made it, we were on another property and we moved here, and there's a big tree, and we put it right up underneath the tree. So we had this beautiful, great shade, afternoon shade, because it the sun, it sets in the west, and so that it was blocking the coop, and so it kept it nice and cool, because I had this thing thinking my chickens had to be cool, because I'm not a real country person. I'm just learning about all this stuff. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, that tree's gone. It's hot out there. It was hot today. I'm like, oh no, you know, the shade's gone. But then Tim and I, you know, I didn't get caught in that, because I don't know if this is anyone can relate to this. Sometimes we just get caught in how different something is, and we can't see it any other way. We just get stuck in that rut. And so I was looking at it, and Tim and I were talking, and I started thinking, and as I didn't get uptight about it, and I wasn't concerned about it, I didn't let anxiety or works or any of that come on me because of the Lord, I was able to realize, because we kind of have a fence around it, without all the details. Anyway, there's a little fence and a shade cloth in the front of it. And I looked at Tim and I said, I know, you know, and he's in agreement. We can move it to the side, and then we can shade just where the eggs are, and so in the afternoon. Anyway, we came up with a solution that we think will work without any effort, no major effort or expense or any of that. And it was just because we just didn't worry about it. We just chilled out, and I don't know why the Lord, you know, allowed all this to happen, because nothing got harmed. I mean, the grill was right there. The tree didn't fall on the grill. Nice grill. We grill a lot. I even had a little water for the container for the chickens. That didn't get smashed. Nothing got trashed. Nothing got ruined at all, except one thing happened, and this just spoke volumes to me. Tim has made me two tractor-type coops, because sometimes I get little chicks, because girls want to sit on the eggs, and I get chicks. So he made me these little tractors to put them in so they don't get hurt and they have a place to stay, because that's hawk material, so we learned the hard way. So we keep them in there until they're about 4 months. And so we made me two because I needed him at one time, and it's no big difference, and it's been in the last few years. So anyway, the one was sitting right next to the hoop house, and it's empty. I'm not using it. And then I have another one. I have a few little chicks in there that are like 2 months old, and it was on the other side of the property. But this one next to the hoop house, and it has a lid. Tim can tell you, but it's a metal. Like, he took some old metal that's on the roof. So it's heavy over wood. So it's very heavy. I mean, it's not a little lightweight thing. I mean, you got to lift it up, and you don't want it to fall on you. And so it's a heavy lid, and it's probably, I'm thinking 4 feet by six, Tim. I don't know the lid. Maybe I'm wrong, 3 by 4. And that was totally ripped off and blown into the grass right next to the hoop house. Totally ripped off. And this is the coop that nobody was using. The chickens weren't using. None of my chickens got hurt because we kind of free range them. And I'm like, okay, Lord, if I hadn't seen this, because this is a very, I mean, I could barely pick it up by my, it's very hard to lift. And I'm thinking, how can that be? How can that be? And that's just, it was neat because that just spoke volumes to me that God's in control, that God is so in control. So I just thought I'd add some color to what we were talking about.
Amen. Yeah, the other tractor has the same type of lid on it, and it's just, I mean, it's metal roofing, you know, that's framed in. It is heavy. The only time you have to open it is if you have to clean it, you need to support it because they are pretty heavy. And after the storm, I went out just to, you know, check out, you know, what happened. And in this other tractor, there was, I think we have 6 little 2-month-old chicks. And one of those chicks was outside of that tractor, which is totally fenced in, you know, chicken wire and stuff like that. And the only thing I can think of happened is that when a gust of wind came or when that thing hit, it must have blown the roof open, and one of the chicks got blown out, and then it slammed shut. And because it was running around trying to get back in there, and there was just no way for it to get back in there. And so that one rode out the storm outside the coop. So.
Hey, Tim.
Yes, sir.
You might explain to some of them what a chicken tractor is. It's just a portable hen house. That's all it is.
Yeah, it's just something that you can, it's a portable hen house. It's got a, you know, an area for the hens, but then it's got a screened in, you know, like 3-foot by 8-foot or 10-foot area that you can move it. It's got wheels on it, so you can move it every day to a different part of the grass, you know, so they can, you know, eat the clover and the grass and all that stuff, but it protects them from the hawks and protects them from the predators, stuff like that. So we just put them in there as they're till they get about 6 months old to get big enough for the hawks, or we understand, you know, that the hawks will just, I mean, they'll just swoop down and take the little ones like candy, you know. So we keep them in there till they get big enough and wise enough to, you know, stay under the trees and get some wisdom in them. So that's basically what a chicken tractor is. Something you can move around the yard that's basically a big old cage with a little hen house on it. So, and we're city folk. This is all, I mean, this is all new to us. We kind of came down here and decided that we're going to get some chickens so we can have some fresh eggs. And, so it's kind of different, kind of neat. So, and I don't know why, but I just don't like birds. It's been something, when I hear a bird flutter over my head, I mean, I'm still praying against it, but it just kind of freaks me out a little bit. So my whole thing is I'll build chicken coops and I'll let them out in the morning and I'll feed them and then water them and all that, but if I don't have to pick them up or mess with them, that's pretty much Trisha's job. But I just, yeah. They just, when they're flat, I'm afraid I'm going to break a wing off or something like that. So I'm like, you pick them up, I'll do everything else, you know? So, all right. All right, anybody else? Hey, Jackie.
Hey,
you got a testimony for us?
Well, I have a correction. The testimony I gave of my niece last week about her ex-boyfriend, Rob, I gave some misinformation. She corrected me on it because I had called her and told her I gave the testimony, and I'm still believing she's going to come on here and give her awesome testimony soon. but that's just in the Father's timing. But I said that it was 1 in 5 people with necrotizing fasciitis, which is the flesh-eating bacteria. My voice always wants to go when I get on here. I rebuke it in Jesus' name. But it's 2 people in 5 that make it. So she corrected me, and I just wanted to bring that forth. So if anybody gave that awesome testimony, they weren't. It was out of ignorance, but you know, the Father put it heavy on my heart to make sure I brought the correction to you guys tonight. So please forgive me for saying that wrong. I was going by what I thought she had said, and it is 2 in 5 people instead of 1 in 5 people makes it.
Well, all right. I mean, still, God gets the praise, you know, as far as that. I mean, it really, it kind of opened her eyes and drew her to him, right?
Oh, yeah, heavily. Yeah, she still has growth to come, but, you know, I'm just letting her, trying to lead her by example. I'm just letting her to see me and, you know, letting the Lord speak when he wants to through me and, trying not to put the cart in front of the horse or the buggy in front of the tractor or whatever your Southern brothers say. I'm just trying to do it in the Lord's timing.
Amen. Now, that's in the... What's that?
I'm just trying not to rush it. I'm just trying to rest. You know, I've prayed and I'm believing. And so it's... the Lord's working in her, I can tell. He's working in my whole family. Praise the Lord.
Well, that's why it's so awesome to share these testimonies, because I've probably told 5 or 6 people that testimony about Rob. And, you know, when we get testimonies like that, a lot of times I'll even share, if we have a testimony on the conference call, not everybody in the local ministry listens to the conference call, then we'll share it. You know, when there's testimonies like that, we'll share it in, you know, our Bible studies, or we'll share it, at, you know, on our Friday nights and stuff like that, because it encourages everybody. And, you know, just keep praying, keep believing, and God's going to do it. And we just got to, you know, just pray it and just start thanking him for it until it manifests. And if, you know, he puts that person on our heart, just keep, you know, just lifting them up. Because somebody had to be praying for me. I was so lost, so out there. And I just praise him. And so we just got to just keep lifting the people up and lifting up situations. So I was really seeing I shared with you the testimony of what happened, Tuesday night when we were cleaning up after the storm, and I was, you know, out in the, local neighborhood here and helping this, you know, remove trees. And, you know, when I prayed for that woman, I mean, it was so awesome to have somebody like that, that is, you know, beat up by the world, and they're, you know, they're dealing with the curse, they're dealing with, you know, things going on in their life, in their bodies, pain, whatever it is. And to be able to be weak to the weak and just be a friend for a little season and just allow them to share, you know, their tribulations or what's going on in their life and just kind of waiting on the Lord to open the door. And then when he opens that door, or just being able to say, hey, can I pray for you, or that, or a lot of times I don't even ask anymore. I'll just say, let me pray for you, and I'll just start praying, you know. But anyways, it's so awesome that you see the Lord move in somebody's life like that. And I was talking to Trish earlier today, and I was really seeing where I was under a little bit of an attack, and it really, I was seeing where, you try not to judge other people that call themselves Christians, and but I see that there's, and that's been part of my trial, is people that are just, proclaiming the word and speaking Jesus and all this, and they don't have any fruit, and they're doing things that don't line up with the word, and then other people know that I'm a believer, and they're looking at that person and then kind of questioning me, and I'm trying to be, trying not to judge them, and you get put in a situation, it's like, what's up with this person, and I just see how the world sees Christianity, and sometimes it's, if I'm around a worldly person, it's like I don't even want to bring up Christian, because they got a kind of a view of what a Christian is, but it's kind of my trial, and people that are just proclaiming it but really don't have the fruit, don't have the depth, and it's been a little challenge for me. But if I get spanked, if I start getting critical or judging or anything like that, I end up getting spanked. But I just see when the Lord just gives you compassion for the lost out there, and He moves on the lost, and it's just so exciting that to see God move in a situation like that, and I just like what He's doing in my heart, just to give me just more compassion for people, and I'm starting to see a lot of the, I'm looking at a lot of the church Christians, I call them, as lost, and He's given me a compassion for them, that I don't need to correct them, I don't need to rebuke them, I don't need to, do any of that. I just need to pray for them, and just allow the Lord to work on their heart, and allow the Lord to open up the door, and if somebody's hungry, you can just share a little bit, and if they latch on and they want more, you can tell it. But just try not to, stay out of works and stay out of have an agenda of, getting this guy saved or whatever it is, just kind of being in the rest and letting the Lord do it. And through that, he's really starting to change my heart and just give me a compassion, for more people, which is, I'm hoping he's going to do it all, in all our hearts, because we tend to go by what we see. We tend to, our flesh is, can be very critical, can be very judgmental, can want to size people up, and we just can't do that. So Father, I just ask you just work in all of us to be led by the Spirit, and not to be led by our eyes, not to be led by what we see or what we hear, or what we see in the flesh, Lord. We just thank you for just allowing us to just break away from this flesh and just stay in the Spirit. And I ask you just help us all to just walk in the Spirit and try to stay in that Spirit and stay in the rest. And Lord, just give us discernment if we're out of the rest to see what it is, what we're believing, what the lie is, what the thought is that is pulling us out of that rest. And we thank you for just blessing us with that discernment and just guiding us and helping us to stay in the Spirit. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right.
Beautiful brother. Amen. I just had, I feel a lot of the same things you just shared. That's what I'm doing with my family. And I felt like the Lord was saying that He was going to use that testimony and pass it along to a lot of people. So when I spoke to my niece about it, and she corrected me. I really felt heavily from the Father that I had to bring the correction forth so that nobody was giving misleading information. I kind of felt like the enemy was trying to steal part of it somehow. So that's why I had to say it. I just wanted to share that.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, I was talking to a brother, and I shared that testimony, and he had his wife had asked him for a divorce, and he divorced his wife, or she divorced him, and he was just sharing with me that he didn't fight her. He just kept praying for her, and just stayed in the rest, and it was a pretty awesome testimony, but. He was saying as he was growing in the Lord, I mean, she proclaimed to be a Christian, and her family proclaimed to be a Christian and all that. He sees where before he entered into the marriage, he was seeing things that concerned him, but his flesh wanted to be married. And, so he was seeing some things in his wife and, to be, and seeing some things in, her family that were as she got closer to her, he was seeing some things that were just kind of way off, but he continued in it. And, he got married and had some kids and stuff like that. But, as he pursued the Lord, I mean, he was growing closer and closer to Christ, and she was basically falling farther and farther away. And, he was trying to, be the head and be the spiritual head and just bring forth things. And, she did not want to hear it. And he shared kind of a funny testimony. He said, I got up one morning and, he was just going through, David's studies. And he had them all in order, and he was just playing them on his iTunes or whatever it was. And he said he got up that morning, he was making breakfast for the kids and his wife, and he had his laptop on the table. And it happened to be that day. It was the Word Women in Authority, or is that the name of it, Michael? Yeah, Word Women in Authority.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. So that came on, and so he's listening to that, and he's, making French toast or whatever it is, and she gets up, and she starts listening to it, and he said that all of a sudden, David's talking about the, Jezebel spirit and she's like listening to it and that, and all of a sudden she says that just the spirit manifested. And she was like, I will have none of this in my house. And she picks up his laptop and just puts it over her head and smashes it on the floor. And he was like, he said he stayed real calm. He's like, well, what'd you do that for? And she's like, and she was just, that spirit just heard that and just lost it. And he says, well, I'm just going to go in my office and finish listening to it. And so he said that after breakfast, he went in his office and he was just listening to it. And he says, the next thing you know, she comes flying in the door, and she's wielding a knife. And she's got this knife in her hand, and she starts just pulling the cords out of the computer and whacking them with the knife, And it was like, that teaching was not going to be, she did not want that teaching in her house. And, it just totally manifested, a spirit in her. And she was doing everything so that teaching would not come forth. And he said that later on when he finally got through the divorce, that, before it was finalized, I mean, they were still living in the same house, they had the kids and all that. And he said that the Lord showed him that spirit, you know, in her, you know, she just was, you know, on the couch crying one night and just, you know, this, she was just wailing, I just want to be a princess. I just want to be a princess and all this stuff. And, you know, he said that she started, you know, quoting scripture that he knew she didn't know, but it was twisted. And he said this, all this scripture was coming out and it was all twisted. And he just saw it was just a spirit behind it. And the Lord was just showing him, you know, that spirit. And, you know, he was just trying to open her up to the word, open her up to the truth. And she didn't want to have anything to do with it, you know. And he kept just praying for her, but she just, you know, she was just didn't want to separate from the world. And she wanted everything that she wanted. She wanted to be the princess. And, you know, she did not want to submit to the Lord, submit to the word, anything like that. You know, when he brought anything about, you know, submission or anything, I mean, she did not want to hear any of that. So it was kind of an interesting testimony. So I just encourage you to just keep praying for her. And I shared that testimony Jackie shared. You know, you don't know when the Lord's going to manifest it. But you know, these different testimonies that people share is, I mean, you know, it doesn't have to be your testimony. It can be somebody else's testimony, and it can bless, you know, somebody that you're talking to. Amen.
Hey, Tim. It didn't sound like she wanted to be the princess. She wanted to be the queen bee, didn't she? That's what it sounded like to me.
Yeah, that's funny. It's but see, that's what happens when you get, when you start getting steeped in the truth, that you know, that flesh does not want to hear that, does not want, I mean, it just does not want to give up, you know. So but it's that's the flesh. Yeah, it thinks it is the queen bee, thinks it is God. You know, it doesn't need God, doesn't need a Lord. It thinks it is the Lord, right? Amen.
Amen. Well, you know, it's amazing to me. You can bring scripture to mind to people like that. I had the same instance today. I bring a scripture up to them, and it doesn't make any difference. You know, the scripture means nothing to them. It means nothing to them. The demons have taken and twisted their minds away from scripture, and they don't want to hear anything about scripture. All they want you to do is to accede to their demands. And that's all they want. Those demons just want you to give in to their demands rather than what the Word of God says. And that's what we have to stand firm on.
Hey, Michael, or everyone, I know that the spirit of Jezebel affects both men and women in the body. I think because we want the teaching to exalt over the power, we'd rather not have power on our head through submission, and we want our faith to stand in our understanding instead of in the power of God, speaking by the Spirit, and both men and women can be opened up for that Jezebel spirit to usurp authority over the head, which is the power source. So you're not letting you're not letting the word come forth in power under the anointing. You want to be the deliverer, you know. So that's my twist on it anyway. Thank you.
No, that's very, you know, very true, you know, because of the word, you know, most people think that Jezebel spirit is, you know, is mainly in women, but it's not, and it's wrapped up in rebellion. And I actually had a situation with one of my sons that fell into rebellion, And the Lord kept giving me scriptures about Jezebel. And I was missing it because I was under the understanding that, you know, Jezebel is a spirit in women, but it's not. And he was showing me that, you know, there was a Jezebel spirit working there because, and exactly that is, he didn't want to submit to me, and he did not want to submit to, you know, any authority. You know, at that juncture in his life, you know, he wanted to be in control, and it was just a total spirit of rebellion, and it was interesting because it had. I tried to sit down and talk with him. I was very calm, collect, and you know, we need to work some things out. And I sat down, and there was even mind control dealing with in this situation. It was just a total demonic, you know, just open up the rebellion, opened it up to witchcraft, and there was mind control there. We just had a spiritual battle going, and I was trying to speak to him, and I could not get my thoughts together. And I'm sitting there, and I'm just trying to, you know, just speak into him or speak to him, and I couldn't put my sentences together. It was like I was just fumbling over my words and fumbling over what I was doing. And finally I'm thinking, what is going on here? And so then I just took authority and I started praying out loud and I started to bind up those spirits. I came against confusion. I came against mind control. And I started coming against these spirits. Because I was manifesting this attack on me where I couldn't get my thoughts together. So I started coming against these spirits. And as soon as I started binding up those spirits, my son that was in rebellion at the time just totally wigged out and just, you know, got angry and ended up just stomping out of the room because I was binding up those spirits. And so the Lord was showing me. And he gave me like three words about Jezebel, but there was a spirit of Jezebel working in my son because he was in rebellion, and he didn't want to submit to my authority. And I was telling him that he needed to submit to my authority, or he needed to move out. And that was part of the battle, but. And I, you know, I got caught up in a little bit where, you know, he was in rebellion and, you know, I'm trying to be weak to the weak and just pray for him and this and that. And the more I was weak to the weak, the more he tried to take advantage and, you know, do things against my will and stuff like that. And it finally came to a point where I had to have him move out. And I said, you got a week to, you know, find a place or, you know, whatever it was. And that was a very difficult decision, but he did not want to submit. So it was time for him to move on. And, you know, it's just kind of hard kicking your kid out of the house. But really what happened was the Lord used that to work in his life. You know, he went out in the world and got tribulated and beat up and stuff like that. But, the Lord's working in him. So, but yeah, Jezebel's not, you know, not strictly a, you know, a woman situation.
No,
you know, but
it,
a lot of
it really isn't. The revelation is just so high in these days. I think that's why the body collects teachers to tickle their itching ears, and there's a lot of teaching because we want to be like Abraham, you know, to deliver that promise seed through Hagar, and we want to be the deliverers with the big teaching, you know, but it's not the teaching that is the power of God unto salvation. I'm in a fellowship with a lady, and what we're noticing, she's another intercessor, and what we're noticing in this fellowship is the more knowledge or revelation we share, the less we want to share, because we sense the Holy Spirit is taking it into praise, worship, and intercession. And when you do that, you're submitting yourself to the power. It's not just about the need to have something to say or a teaching to share or break the bread of the revelation. You're allowing the power of God to break that bread in you first. So you're giving the power of the Lord the preeminence, and you're making the fellowship more about waiting on the power of God and through praise and worship. I mean, what did they say in the book of Exodus? You know, let my people go so they can come out into the wilderness and worship the Lord, not learn a new teacher. You know, even though teachings are good if they're anointed, and but if they're not, that's probably why we have a lot of Jezebel spirits in the body. Okay, thank you.
Well, I think that, yeah, I mean, I totally agree. I mean, typically what we do in our local assembly here is on Monday nights, we have we just call it a prayer night, but it's probably about 90% praise and worship. And we just get into praise and worship, and you know, the Holy Spirit will fall down. We'll it's just be an outbreak in tongues or whatever. We just totally try to be led of the Spirit, and we see some awesome power of God breakthrough, you know, just through just total prayers and praise and worship. And typically on, you know, Friday nights we get together, we do praise and worship, and David, you know, he'll bring a teaching, but not every time. I mean, there's times where we'll just, if the Spirit's leading, we might just stay in praise and worship and testimonies, and so we're learning the same thing. Just try to be led of the Spirit. Don't have an agenda. Don't get into we're going to do it this way or whatever it is. Just praise the Lord, worship the Lord, and be led of the Lord.
Right. Well, you know, when someone's got an anointing to teach or prophesy, you know when it's the Spirit of the Lord speaking and when it's just coming out of the flesh. And there is a difference. But it's getting really heated up. I really believe that the Lord is getting ready to raise up and his people and begin to speak and thunder forth, and you're either going to deliver a sword or you're going to deliver the living water, you know. So you better not have any flesh on that word as it comes forth. You better learn some, not you, but all of us, good submission entered into the rest, and you're letting the Lord freely give you everything that he wants you to have, because when he does, it'll come in power. I think the body of Christ is our exodus up out of the natural into the supernatural is upon us right now. I really do, only because of, you know, what I'm experiencing and what I know others are experiencing. And it's definitely sobering me up. It's a fearful thing, even though I'm resting before the Lord. And the Lord is loving and gracious, but he's certainly worthy of our reverence and our respect. And I think we're going to see a lot of powerful things here soon. Thank you.
Amen. Yeah, it's not, I mean, there's, you know, there is a lot of Jezebel in the church. And part of that is because they don't really teach headship. And, you know, that end of it, and the churches are so worldly, but Jezebel pretty much prevails in this world, and it's prevailing more and more. It's a principality, And it's you know, taken over, because what it's trying to do is it's trying to, you know, undercut man and his authority and headship and all that. And, you know, you're just seeing it. I've been something else the Lord has been doing is I've been running into a lot of two things. I mean, it's I've been seeing a lot of women that are just hardcore, very masculine. I mean, just, you know, it just seems like more than I, you know, just lately, it's just, I've been running into a lot of this where it's just, you know, real hardcore, but the world is teaching that. It's just, I mean, most of the programming on television is just, you know, portraying men as, you know, wimps and don't know what they're doing. And they're, you know, they're portraying women as having it all together and smarter than their husbands. And, you know, it's all a ploy of the enemy. And you're seeing it in, you know, corporate America with the CEOs and all that. Or, I mean, there's just, you know, more and more, I mean, they're just, you know, the women are just, you know, prevailing in a lot of, companies and stuff like that. It's all about going against the headship. But I don't know. I just see it as, but the thing is there's a lot of Ahabs out there too. And if you're an Ahab and you're not taking authority over your family and you're not being the head of your family and you're not taking authority over your kids and that, and you're letting your wife do everything, make all the decisions, pay all the bills, all that, I mean, you're basically creating a Jezebel if you're acting like an Ahab, you know? So there's a lot of Ahabs out there that are creating each Jezebels too. So,
and the soul are ruling the temple instead of the Spirit of God. That's like the woman and the child. To me, the soul that's ruled by the flesh is like the woman, and the flesh itself is like the child, and they're the ones that are ruling over Christ in you. So, amen. I think that each one of us individually, if we're handing ourselves over to our soulish nature through our flesh, it is the woman and the child ruling in the temple, and it's literally emasculating Christ in us, and in turn, that will cast a shadow, and that's probably why we don't see a lot of men in the church, because it's just casting a shadow of the body being emasculated. That's why we don't see the power of God the way that we need to, because we've lost the order that the Lord had ordained. So that's my take on it.
Amen. And I don't even know. I never went to church growing up or anything like that, but I portrayed Christian men as these wimpy, hen-tecked, you know, guys that go to church. And I don't know where that came from, where that seed was planted, anything like that, because I never went to church, but it's just the way I portrayed Christian men for some reason. And the only reason I went to a Bible study was because that Tom Kruger was going to be there, and I knew he was, you know, he was this big, you know, he used to be an, you know, NFL player, and there was another guy I knew that was with them, and I couldn't believe they were Christians. They did not fit my persona, what a Christian was at the time, and I don't even know where that came from. If that was from television, if that was from, you know, the world, whatever it was, but there was that persona there of what you know, Christian men were. And then when I came into the kingdom and I started, you know, meeting, you know, just all, you know, business people and all these, different people, it was like, wow, this isn't what I thought it was. So it had to have been something from programming, you know, television, whatever, you know, I don't know. So, amen.
Amen. Thank you.
All right. Anybody else have anything on their heart? I think the situation there is just don't act like an Ahab. You know, take authority, men, and I don't know. I had a situation where I went into an office this week. I went to go see somebody, and the secretary there, I threw a fleece if I should go in, and, you know, I went in this office, and the person I was there to see wasn't there, and the secretary there was just this, I mean, just hardcore, I mean, it was an older woman, but she was just hardcore, staring right through me, just... It was, like, so uncomfortable, and I'm just trying to bring light to her and just be light and smile, and I mean, it was, there was nothing I was going to say. She was just so hardcore, and I'm trying to break through this hardcoreness, and it was a spirit. There was just such a spirit there, and I was, like, so uncomfortable, and I'm thinking, why am I uncomfortable? I mean, I just walked in here, and she was making me feel so uncomfortable, and I ended up, I walked out of the office, and I was like, Lord, I threw a fleece if I should go in there, and you told me yes, and, you know, why did I go in there? I was like, man, I just felt like I was beat up spiritually from this woman, and I knew, you know, after that, I just felt my spirit is just, I need to pray for her. That's why I went in there, because I was like, it was kind of was not what I was expecting. So it was, you know, there's definitely a spiritual, you know, hardness, presence, whatever, you know, type thing. But you know, it wasn't what I would say feminine. It wasn't modest. It was, you know, very, very hardcore. So, amen. All right, well, we got a few minutes left. Let's see if, does anybody have any last thoughts?
Well, I did want to mention one thing. Next Tuesday night, I'd like to try to get some questions about, or even comments about, end time Bible prophecy. You know, if you have questions about it, or if you have comments on it, where we are, you know, and that kind of thing. I want to try to generate some interest in everyone here to participate in the fellowship. So that's kind of my take on next Tuesday night. So just kind of get yourself together and maybe write down some things and thoughts that you have, and maybe share them next Tuesday night. What do you think?
That sounds great. So, all right, before we close out, anybody else need prayer or anything before we close out? Or want to pray for anybody? Well, all right. So, Father, we just thank you for just another awesome night of coming together. And we just thank you for just all that you're doing in our lives. We thank you for just drawing us and giving us a hunger for righteousness. Give us a hunger to walk after you. Giving us truth. It's allowing us to stay on that narrow path and not get distracted and not get deceived by the deceivers in this world. We thank you for just David and the truth you've given him and putting obedience in him to, you know, just bring forth, you know, these books and these teachings so others can just come into more fullness in their walk and come out of deception and come out of complacency and truly understand their authority and truly understand what the good news is all about, and truly understand what walking in faith is. We just, Lord, we just thank you for just, you know, just drawing us all in and just giving us, you know, just eyes to see and ears to hear and giving us, you know, just wanting to put to death this old man and this old flesh and separate from the apostate, you know, system out there and separate from what the world's glory is and what it has to offer and to run after you. And we just thank you for that mercy and that grace on us, Lord, because if you didn't call us, we wouldn't be here. And we thank you for all you're doing in our lives, and we thank you for all you're doing and going to do in our family lives and our children's lives to bring them into your fullness and bring them into truth, Lord. And Father, we just ask you just bless everybody this week. Just guide them, Lord. Help them to stay in the spirit, to stay in the rest and not get pulled into, you know, just the flesh and get pulled into murmuring and just anything unpleasing to you, Lord. Just help us to just be a light, to be salt, to be weak to the weak, to be led of you. And Lord, we just ask you just open doors so we can touch people that truly are hungry for truth. And, you know, just open the doors to the people that are hungry and close to the doors to the ones that think they've got it all and are bound up in religion and those religious spirits. And Lord, you know, unless you shake them, they don't want to hear any truth. So Father, just guide and direct us in, you know, just all our directions and all our, you know, keep us out of works, Lord. We praise you and thank you. Bless everybody tonight and bless your week in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good night, everybody. So, End Time Prophecy, Tuesday night. Be there or be square.
Amen. Be there, be square. Okay. Right. Well, good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. We love you, and we'll see you Tuesday night.